Welcome to the Esports Business Network podcast. I'm your host, Trent Knox. I'm the founder and CEO of Esports Business Network. This is EBN podcast number 38. Our guest is Kyrie Ware, the founder of Centric Gaming. Kyrie was introduced to video games early in his childhood. He found himself playing for hours, burning the midnight oil, grinding for the love of the game. His game of choice would become Call of Duty, where he excelled to a level of establishing his own team. In 2020, he, alongside Dion Waiters and Wilson M. Aro, took Centric Gaming to the next level of professional esports. In this podcast, you'll learn about the man behind Centric Gaming, what mindset built the success of Centric Gaming, and what drives their passion for competition. Enjoy.
This is the future. Evolution. This is the future.
Hey y'all, it's Trent Knox back with another Esports Business Network podcast. Today's guest is an entrepreneur in the esports and gaming space. We're going to learn a lot about what he's doing. His name is Kyrie Ware. He started a company called Centric Gaming. Welcome to the show, Kyrie.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for having me on. I'm super excited to be on and talk a little bit about Centric Gaming and everything I've been through the last, like, I guess you could say, year, well, 6 months since Centric launched, and it's going to be really interesting. So let's go.
So how did we connect? Did we connect on LinkedIn or did we connect on Clubhouse?
Clubhouse for sure, I think. Yeah, it was Clubhouse because we was in the they be having them like weekly meetings about like just NFTs and stuff, right? And everything that's different in esports and stuff. I think we talked about like content creation and like how's important the teams. I think that was one of the calls I think I connected with you with.
Gotcha. Yeah, I've been a little bit away from Clubhouse since I've been moving. I just moved into my new place. And I hope to start doing more shows. This podcast has been like the one mainstay throughout the pandemic and everything that I've been doing. And it's allowed me the opportunity to learn more about esports and gaming. And that's like the main purpose this podcast exists, is because there's so many different entrepreneurs in the space. But before we jump into Centric Gaming, let me hear a little bit about your backstory. What's your history with gaming and esports?
All right. So basically, I got into esports when I was like 14. I was a huge Optic fan, and I used to watch like CDL or the Kai League and all that tournaments all the time. But I actually wanted to go pro in like Call of Duty, so I used to play like tournaments, game battles, like CMG, stuff like that. But I knew I wasn't that good because I used to get like smoked. But after I realized I wasn't that good, like then I realized, all right, maybe I could create a team like Optic or try to, you know, do something around those natures of like how Optic like help people and like how so many people gather around that one fan base and try to build something that's really unique. And then from that, I kept watching, studying different esports, looking into what people do, all the like funding that people get. It's really unique. So much stuff that goes onto the scene, like with how certain people fund their team, what's the different marketing strategies going behind a team via Twitter or Instagram or anything of sort. And it's really cool. So when I got a few years after, like I was like around high school, came up with the idea like maybe an esports team would be a vibe. I've realized, you know, esports takes a lot of money. Like just to get a name for yourself takes a lot of money. I know a lot of people that done it and just go on a content creation shot and it just hasn't worked. It doesn't show much results. And like, and I knew coming in, like, you got to have some type of capital, some type of gain just to get anything, like, a name out there for yourself. So, after, like, I think it was around, like, 2016, 17, I was playing a lot of GTA around that time, which is, like, you know, GTA is still popular right now with, like, RP and all that stuff. I played GTA a lot, and I got to know a lot of, like, celebrities like Meek Mills, PNB Rock, Dion Waiters, all these different type of people that were, like, basically from Philadelphia. And I got to know all of them, and like Dion was really interested in like just esports in general and like everything that was going on. Then that's when Fortnite, the world, you know, the World Cup, 1.3 million. Everybody was like, all the money that was involved into Fortnite. You know, we actually watched it together. the highlights of Fortnite and all that. We would actually play. We play Fortnite at least 6-7 hours a day, literally, and GTA too. So we gather like a really good bond and like understanding one another and to like get into that another level. To like, yeah, maybe we do want to go into esports, but we knew it took a lot of like time, you know, knowing what's going on, knowing having to build in the right team as well, because it's not easy getting esports. There's a lot of teams that go through like burning money a lot, as you can see. And like even to this day, people just spend with such little return. And we try to, you know, minimize that by like not trying to give so much in, but trying to like balance the way out and still be positive in all aspects of esports. So that's a little bit.
Yeah. So I definitely like that. That's like a very professional answer. I want to ask you a little bit because you mentioned it, but the listeners don't, you know, may not know this. You grew up in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Philadelphia, so, PA.
So in the U.S. market, because this is an international audience, talk about a little bit about what was it like being a gamer growing up, and like, were you able to play with friends, or was there a gaming community that you found yourself aligned with, or what was it like growing up playing video games as a kid?
In Philadelphia, it's kind of hard. Like, if you know about, like, Philadelphia is probably like one of the hardest cities to make it out of, just in general. Like, this is really hard. I had like a few select friends that we played the game with, but you know, generally through time, like, they just stopped finding that passion and interest that they had within gaming when we do high school. Like, that's when I really found my group of friends, like 4 or 5 that like would sit there and grind Call of Duty out, like BO3. We played so much of that. And like, even when I was in like middle school, I really didn't have that many friends that really gamed as hard as I did. Like, I used to play so much, like Halo 3, all the Halos, all the Gears of Wars. I used to play so much, but I never had a friend that like a group of friends, like during middle school or that time growing up when I was playing on PlayStation. Then when I switched to Xbox, I have that group of friends that like was consistently grinding until I went to high school and found that group of people that was like super, super into it. And like when I did, it was like crazy because like they all shared the same interest in like watching Call of Duty and stuff. And like we all just was always, you know, bouncing different ideas off and trying to get different things into like esports and trying to make our names for ourselves and stuff. So it was really unique. But at this moment, like they all went their own separate ways in life. Like everybody, all my friends from high school and stuff, they done their own little thing. But they all still support like Centric and the brand and everything, which is really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I you know, I share sort of the same upbringing within gaming and esports, where community wise, I played with people that I was growing up with, but it was never really structured in a way that it is now, especially with, you know, everybody's talking about the popularity of young players now getting support from their parents to get like to go to homeschooling and get dedicated Fortnite coaches, dedicated you know, Rocket League coaches, dedicated League of Legends coaches to you know, potentially put them at their best foot forward into either getting a collegiate scholarship or an opportunity at an org, maybe even like yours. So maybe talk about, did you go to college? I'm not sure.
I went to community college in Philadelphia. I actually graduated 2020, like around when the pandemic started. I got my associate's degree in business management. It was really an interesting time. Like, college was interesting. Well, community college was really interesting. They gave me a lot. They offered a lot. Accounting, everything. I learned a lot, actually. And I enjoyed it really, really a lot. I just didn't, I haven't never went back to get my bachelor's degree because that's when Centric started. And like, I just felt like I'm really like, I want to give it my all into Centric Gaming before I like really make that chance of going back and then continue the next 2 years and try to get my bachelor's degree in something else. So basically I just got a associate's degree at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so what does that make you, 23,
24? 22.
You're 22. Okay. Yeah, 22. You know, esports and gaming is emerging into the community college and the into the university space. you know, as we speak, it's not something that's been widely adopted. This is sort of like a timestamp in 2021 for those individuals who are listening to this in the future and hearing about how it was in the old days in the past.
Yeah.
And even now that I say that, it's like when I was in the university and when I went to community college, there was no future. There wasn't a system even, or the conversation around whether gaming or esports would be incorporated into the school. I did go to school for media production and video production and whatnot, but that was sort of a secondary thing. Twitch was emerging. YouTube gaming content was a thing, but it wasn't paying the bills in the same way that it is today. So with what you've now done building Centric Gaming, talk about how you're applying the skills from what you learned in community college towards building a business in esports.
Well, management is really interesting because you got to learn, like, basically in management, you got to manage players, they feelings, how they feel, what they need. It's basically you day to day with them, like, but you're not physically connected because of COVID. Obviously, we was maybe, you know, we'd be able to have that one-on-one connection. We right there in office and, like, you know, talking with them and stuff. Like, we don't have a facility yet, hopefully in the near future. But with college, I've learned about a lot of accounting. So I know, like, the ins and outs of, like, how much you spend and how much you get in return and all this such of things I built within, like, doing Excel sheets, all that little tedious work that you do, you got to do it within a business. And, like, I hope majority of organizations understand, like, how much you spending and like what you're getting back, because a lot of organizations spend so much that they don't realize what they're getting back and like how they even could break even within that aspect. I think like one of the things that Centric does a good job at, we really value our talent at such a good rate of like what you're doing. Like, we really noticed everything. Like, we take streaming highly, like everything, like streaming is one of the main things I always, even before I even talk to a player, streaming is one of the most important things within like just gaming in general. But in college, they taught me about, like, it's one thing I forgot. It was one of my professors. I had an accountant. He always told me, like, what was the thing he always said? He said, managing like people is like one of the hardest things you ever going to do, because not everybody's going to follow your lead and not everybody going to listen to you. So, you know, obviously with Centric, like, everybody listened to me. Everybody let me, you know, they let me do what I need to do. But the one of the things I love about like managing players and stuff is, like, you know, they not hard. Like, a lot of players are like hard-headed. They don't listen. But everybody that I ever had on Centric always listened. They always was communicating. They always want to get better and better their life and better their future. And managing them has been a blessing in disguise for me. I learned so much about just like how much you could, like, people play, the fatigue level, everything. It's amazing. Like, even have an opportunity to talk to some players that, you know, won thousands of dollars at like age, what, 16, 17 is like mind boggling, you know? Like, when I was 16, 17, I was just watching. Like, you know, I wish I could be able to like hop on the sticks and play and like play for thousands to millions of dollars on a weekly basis. Like, that's crazy. Like, but I definitely think out of everything I learned in college, managing like our players, the team, and everything is really, really important out of everything I ever learned.
Yeah. And so, are your players all located in the US, or are they also international players?
International. So one of the unique things about Centric is we're a North American org, but our Fortnite team is currently based in Europe. So we have two Polish players and one player for, I think it's Italy. So, which is really unique. Their names are Cubex, Raxel, and Snag. All really unique players, all good in their own right. All do what they need to do. Snag recently won the tournament, I think, a month or two ago. And, you know, Raxel and Cubex been killing it. Cubex streams like 7 hours a day. I don't even know how he does it. Average like 3,000 viewers. Like, this kid is just amazing. I can't even speak highly of him, man. Like, he just does so much for the organization. It's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what games are you currently in with Centric Gaming?
We're just in Fortnite at the moment, but we're always looking to expand into different games. It's just at the right moment, the right time, and if the price is right, we wouldn't mind going into a different game.
Gotcha. And so they're playing solos and trios or just solos?
It's right now the meta is basically trios. So they have like their own trio. Everybody got their set trios. And then you like, you know, you qualify and then you go to finals. And then I think the prize pool for finals, this was 1.3 million, I think, and was divided into like all 33 places. So like, I think the first place got 300,000. If you was top five, you got over 100K split divided by like three. So you was coming out with a good amount of money as a player.
Cool. And so what's the vision for Centric Gaming? What is the mission behind creating the brand?
So one of the things that I want to do, like for me, like growing up in Philly, I've always wanted to give back and like try to do stuff more in my community. You know, growing up, me and Dion both, like he grew up in South Philadelphia. I grew up in North Philadelphia, Island East section, basically. We both had hard childhoods growing up. I lost my mom when I was young. He grew up in a really tough environment as well. So one of the things that we want to do is like give back and show people that like it's a different opportunity in Philadelphia, like within gaming, that you could do more in life than like just trying to, you know, be a rapper or try to hoop, play basketball, football, or anything. Like gaming could be something that you could literally make a career out of if you're good at graphic design, or if you're good at streaming, if you're actually really good at gaming. Showing people that Centric Gaming is the way. Showing people that like Centric, yeah, Dion and Kyrie, they do this with Centric, such and such. Like you see that you could do more in life, and like just, you know, raising awareness to people that's in Philadelphia that like is more than just certain things. Like gaming, it could be more than just that. It could make it be a career, something that you really take highly, that you might not even know that you're good at. And you play the game, you might think, damn, I'm really good at this. Maybe I could go to that pro level, you know, and look at other people like Centric that follow example of the players they have on their team.
Absolutely. And so, you know, with your spirit and whatnot, are you still playing games now yourself? Are you playing Call of Duty, Fortnite at a semi-competitive level?
Yeah, I still do play Call of Duty, but I'm not a competitor. Surprisingly, I had won two tournaments in Call of Duty this year, actually. I think last year and this year. I'm pretty sure, yeah. I won like two like online leagues, so which is cool. I mean, I won two tournaments. I play a little bit, I guess, like any tournaments online, like leagues and stuff like that, for a few thousand, I play. I usually win. I'm like 2-0. Not that like have an ego or anything. And as far as Fortnite, not really. Like I stream a lot, actually, surprisingly. I stream Fortnite when I can a lot. I like streaming Fortnite more than like, I can't play Fortnite competitively. I can't keep up with the kids no more. All the building and stuff and building houses and stuff when you're trying to shoot them and stuff. And like, it just be too much like into the game. I can't do it no more. Too old for all that. So that's about it.
Yeah. So, and you also mentioned Dion. Is he also content creating or playing games competitively?
I wish he was. He's actually surprising. He's really, really good at Madden. Like he was top 100 in the world like a year ago. And like one of Madden's, which you wouldn't even think, but like he was really good that year. Is he? Not really. He's always working out every day. He don't even have the time in his schedule to even do that. He's always working out. Usually he definitely plays Fortnite a lot. Like we still play together when he has time. Obviously he's always in the gym working and trying to perfect his craft. So
absolutely. And so with Centric Gaming, what's the content creation strategy? You mentioned it earlier, but how are you creating content or keeping everybody with the right mindset to create content to grow the brand?
Yeah, so basically right now we have like a lot of in-game content, you know, due to COVID. But we actually about to release our first IRL video coming up, I think within a week or two. It's really unique. It's with one of our content creators, Slayer. He did an amazing job. I met him in person. It was really a great experience. You know, meeting one of your players and like content creators, just having that one-on-one bond and connection, talking to them and seeing how they feel and like what's their real mindset. But I think one of the things that I really, really want to do is implement like IRL more, like, because we at like 20,000 subscribers right now. And like to really get to that next level, like that 100K into that like 500K and then a million, like you really got to show, you got to have a mixture of in-game content and then the IRL content. So one of the things we do, we always consistently upload, we always average pretty decent amount of views. I'm sure if I look at the numbers, it's pretty good, like around 10,000 each video, or like around that, or 5K. Like I'm always happy. Like, any video that I know we put out is always pretty good. And, like, it's interesting to people. People like it. I always get good feedback. So I just consistently keep trying to, like, get more content out. But it got to be quality over quantity. You want good stuff coming out instead of just posting, posting, posting. And it could be bad, you know, bad stuff people don't want to watch. So that's what we want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's the business model? Are you kind of replicating any teams? Do you have a favorite team that's doing content creation and tournament play the right way? Do you have a team that you look at and you say that that's a good model of what an esports team should look like?
I would say, to be honest, a team that I look at, you could say 100 Thieves as far as content creation. You could even say a European team called Become Legends. They do really good job of IRL content. And, like, you could tell, like, a lot of the stuff over there is managed really, really well. It's something that I really want to, like, as I said before, like, I really want to implement the IRL aspect, because people really want to know who's behind the organization. When they see your face, they want to know, yeah, he's on Centric, or yeah, he's on this team. Like, having fans connect to you one-on-one is way more important, seeing your face, than anything, I think, into esports. But I would say 100 Thieves and Become Legends are two teams I look at. Like, I could implement something off, like, that really do well. And even, you know, merchandise as well is really important. A lot of people have been wearing the Centric merch around the Philadelphia area, which is really dope. And even in Mexico as well. We have a strong fan base there. And I truly appreciate all those people that wear it as well. As we keep growing and keep dropping merch and stuff like that, merch drops, it's going to be dope. So.
Yeah, now that you bring up merchandise, like, what is the monetization model for Centric Gaming? What are you able to, you know, monetize as far as the content and things that you're already creating?
So, like, you're saying, like, YouTube, Twitch, and, like, your merchandise
YouTube,
drop,
all Twitch, that sponsors, merchandise, affiliate programs, meet and greets, whatever it may be.
As far as that, I would definitely say, like you said, YouTube is definitely one of the things I think is, like, most important, but it's one of the hardest places to get known on. Like, YouTube is hard. Like, it's not that you know, a lot of esports teams think it's easy. Like, you could get a bunch of players and, like, hey, I promote this, that, and third, but that doesn't mean people gonna watch you. Your content can still be bad and people won't watch you. So, like, YouTube is, like, the hardest. I think that's one of the things I prioritize the most, that, and, like, as you said, merchandise, because if your team got popping merchandise, everybody gonna talk about it. Like 100 Thieves popped off with that and everything else just fell in place. You know what I mean? If your merchandise is good and people say it's good quality, people aren't going to have a problem. But, like, hey, listen, they just dropped a new thing, I'm going to cop that. Even, like, and as Twitch as well is another important aspect. Viewing parties, streaming parties of, like, your players playing and stuff like that is really important. So I think prioritizing the three is definitely YouTube, merchandise, and Twitch is going to be your top three.
Yeah, very cool. You know, I was thinking about something you said earlier about, you know, giving back to your community and whatnot with growing up in Philadelphia. What about, you know, if anybody doesn't know, Kyrie is an African-American gentleman. Are you also thinking about contributing to HBCUs or other historical Black universities or colleges?
Yeah, definitely. That's for sure. I'd definitely be interested in the opportunity. Like, if I ever get a chance to do it, I would definitely do it. I think it's really important to do that, especially, like, you know, growing up African-American and everything that we face, you know, coming up. So it's definitely important to do that.
So when, you know, you're a leader in the space and whatnot, and you've been able to create a brand in gaming esports, you are sort of now at the, you're at the, what people term the infancy stage of an industry in gaming and esports. What are you looking to, what do you want to accomplish to cement your legacy in the industry?
That's a good question. I think winning FNCS will be definitely something up there to cement your legacy. Like, when we won the first tournament, like, with Snag, when our players won, it was like, wow, like, Centric actually won a tournament. Like, it's just Lamont. Like, it's like a feeling that you never thought, like, you know, all your, you know, having a player on your team actually win a tournament. It's like a crazy feeling, like, you know, so much money and just winning anything like that. It's just like, you know, that you, like, when I seen it happen, I just, like, I was lost for words. Like, even to this day, like, I'm so lost for words, bro. But I think one of the top goals is definitely winning at a high level and winning FNCS. like cementing your legacy, winning like any tournament big in Fortnite, you're always going to be talked about in esports. Like, he won a tournament, this, that, and the third. Like, I don't really care about the art. Like, obviously, people going to write about you, which you, everybody going to write about whoever they want to write about. But I think winning FNCS would definitely be a big accomplishment for, like, that would cement us into, like, one of the best teams ever put, like, into esports. So, in Fortnite space.
What does it take? What does it take to build a good team? I'm sure you've worked with other players and you've had players come and go. What does it take to create a team that has, to put it, you know, simply good teamwork, you know, works well together?
Yeah, definitely. For me, I think the most important thing is having everybody. You got to have good managers. You got to have everybody that's on page. You're going to have some people that, egos may get involved or they think this, that, and the third. But at the end of the day, y'all all here for one reason. Y'all all here to get to one simple goal, is to build one of the best organizations in the world. So for me, I think building the right team, you really got to look at everybody and really like talk to them and see what their mindset is and see if y'all goals match one another, because that's the most important thing at the end of the day. I can sit here and say, like, everybody that's on Central Gaming right now, all our goals align. We all want to be the, like, everybody want to, they got one job. Everybody do their job. Everybody want to be the best. That's it. That's simple. Like, if you talk to any of them, they will all tell you the same thing. Building a good team takes a lot of work. It is nothing. You're going to have people that come in. Like you said, you're going to have players that come in, people that's going to come out. You know, it's going to be the same thing. People going to come in, come out. Even management, same as that. But you got to have a sustained glue person and just everybody that's always on board with everything. Everybody makes sure everything's flowing every day. You get messages, hey, are you creating this content? Hey, are you streaming today? Or hey, or are you doing this, that, and the third? If everybody on point, everybody on page, you should have no problem seeing growth. Like I always said, growth doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. Numbers, like if your team is consistently growing in numbers, it may not be the fastest. Everybody wants growth to happen so fast. Sometimes that steady pace of growth is better than anything, because then it shows you, like, over a long period of time, it keeps going up. It's not going down. It's always going up. And you could look on something like that and just be happy because you know your team and y'all really built something really special to see the growth keep going.
What are you paying attention? I know this, I think they probably can this, but with the Fusion Arena being developed and everything that was going along in Philadelphia, what do you see is happening now in the community on the East Coast as far as new land centers, new esports arenas, new stages? And what can someone who's just like, who's growing up in Philadelphia, like, what is their avenue to be, you know, a pro player or an amateur player or play for Centric Gaming or play for the Philadelphia Fusion? I know that's, you know, we're talking about Overwatch League, but largely, you know, like the overall professional esports scene on, you know, the East Coast and East and the area of the U.S. What is it that can they look to certain things happening in the area and like get connected with the people doing things in gaming and esports?
Yeah, so basically, growing up, I know that, like I said, I touched on it wasn't much, but. And now with the Fusion, like Fusion Arena is really, really crazy. I think I read a little bit about it, not much. I heard about it. I know a lot of money went into starting it and building it and stuff. That, you got Nerd Street Gamers, you got Helix, Metro. So right now, there's a lot of things that could get you really super involved. You just got to take the extra step. You just got to know what you want to do. If you know what you want to do, go for it. If you want to be a pro player, practice consistently every day, grind every day, give it everything you got. Because you only young once, like I said, like you only young once, and your best ages to become a competitive player is like around your 18, you know, at this rate, you might as well say 16, 17, 18, you know, 16 through 20, basically, because that's everybody right now that's around the age as a pro player flourishing right now. So if you're like in the Philadelphia area, definitely those places would be like, if you're trying to test your skill, like if you really think you got it like that in that certain game, I will definitely look at Helix. Nerd Street Gamers hosts a lot of great tournaments. Even online, I think they do too. I'm not sure. just look at around that and just look around your area. Like, you can always Google stuff, look around, and just look, you know, LinkedIn. You got all these different places that promote stuff about, like, just tournaments in general. So if you really want to be in esports, just look around and you can find something for sure.
You know, you took a larger path in esports. It is very difficult to be a team owner, because as an owner or founder, somebody who's putting money behind, putting sweat equity behind building a brand, that's very entrepreneurial. And for a lot of folks who want to be, you know, a part of the team rather than the head of the team, you know, they might not find that their skills are at that level that it would take to be a professional player. But what are some other things that they could do? Maybe being a coach, being a shoutcaster, and whatnot. Are those opportunities becoming more available in Philadelphia and on the East Coast?
I think so. Yeah, I think casting is definitely something I've seen a lot of people want. Like, casting is like something I think a lot of people, if you got a good voice for it and you actually enjoy casting, go for it. I think that's something that we need more of, is good casters in esports. It's something actually, now I'm thinking about it, that was a great question, because now casting is something I for me, when I watch like competitive gaming or anything, I like the casters make the game better. So when you don't have a good caster, you just don't enjoy watching the game. Like, you're like, oh, this man, like, he keeps saying the same thing. I don't like it. His voice doesn't like attract you to watch. So for me, I think if you're really trying to, like, in Philadelphia area, I don't think I ever had somebody come out of Philly or seen anybody that's like a super, super great caster or like anything of that sort. I mean, listen, I will go for it. If you're good at it, if you like it, if you think you know the game from head to toe, go for it.
You know, now that you mentioned that and putting it sort of in context, I'm from Texas, you're from Philadelphia. I know a lot of people from California. California pretty much runs the scene right now. Culturally, aesthetically, everything is ran basically in California. But how can, you know, smaller markets like yours and mine input their own twist of esports, like their own way into it? Because I've seen, you know, California come to Texas and try to replicate rural country Texas into their, like, oh, this is Texas, but it's not really like real Texas. But how can we, I guess, since we're the grassroots and we're also, you know, sort of in between grassroots pro, add a little of our own flavor into esports and gaming? How can we do that?
I think one of the things you can do is just like promoting. So I think it's definitely promoting. If you want to add your own flavor into like our cities. Philadelphia is unique, and Philadelphia is really unique in its own way. We got a lot of unique things with like clothing design and stuff like that. So I think, you know, having Centric name even out there, and like, you know, even being able to have an ability to be on like Philadelphia News or something like that, and people seeing like Centric Game and stuff like that, that name, I think that means more than anything, just adding that flavor. Like, you just got to make your own. I always say you got to make your own way. Something that you don't see, like, having it right now, just try to do it and see where it takes you. I know in Philadelphia, we don't have a really lot of esports teams besides probably, I think, like, the Fusion and Overwatch, I'm pretty sure. Philadelphia Fusion, I think that's the only one, I'm pretty sure. But, yeah, I think it's only them and probably just Centric. I'm pretty sure on that. So I know definitely in our area of Philadelphia, like, you don't hear people talking about esports at all. Like, barely see it. Like, you ask somebody in Philadelphia right now, you know anything about esports, they're going to look at you like you're crazy. So I think just spreading more awareness about gaming and stuff would definitely be really, really cool and like more creative for everybody. Even in Texas, I know Texas definitely be coming up there as well, because I know a lot of people that got headquarters there. You got Hex and them, I think, that's there. And a lot of Call of Duty teams is actually there because of Fireburn and stuff like that for online tournaments and all that. So, yeah, so that's definitely something that you could look into as well. Like, just to see, like, you know, Texas is definitely becoming up there with LA. I could definitely say that for sure, because everybody there right now for, like, Call of Duty purposes. So,
yeah, you know, the identity of Texas esports is, you know, definitely painted via the collegiate scene, you know, Texas basically built the collegiate esports scene. And you know, you mentioned Call of Duty, you mentioned Hex, and, you know, Nade Shot's actually from Texas originally, but then, you know, built his empire in Los Angeles. You know, it's hard to say. It's really hard to say because right now, esports, you know, regional esports doesn't really exist. It's something that obviously Blizzard has attempted to create, but it hasn't yet taken off to the level that it is. A lot of what Texas is represented on the scene, and I'm sure this is the case also for Philadelphia and Pennsylvania large, is how the establishment has decided that particular region should be represented. And, you know, it'll take a lot of time for the younger generation right now, who are, you know, no arguments here, are mostly online players, you know, that the offline scene, the LAN scene or the offline scene, that sounds funny whenever I say it. It has yet to develop to where, okay, well, say it's apples to apples, or, you know, relatively similar to like traditional sports being football, baseball, you know, traditional sports that are incorporated into your youth as you're growing up, and you see the star players that are on the field on Friday nights, or, you know, the soccer players that are emerging here. And there's actually more of an avenue, at least in Texas, for professional soccer now that we have a professional soccer team in Texas. But what do you, you know, as we're getting to a larger conversation around esports, is what do you think? How should, you know, you're young individual, young entrepreneur. How should systems like schools, systems like, you know, parents and things look to give their kid the best foot forward to go, and how can they support them to be successful in this industry?
I think look at opportunities like co-op programs, like look at a lot of organizations. I think they offer something. Like, I think a few, I'm not off the top of my head, I can't really think of some, but I know a few probably offer like co-op programs and like high school, like in my high school, my bad, I'm sorry, college and stuff like that. You can really find a lot of like scholarships, all types of things. You can really find like esports back then growing up. I'm not saying like I'm super old or anything just back then, but it wasn't really many opportunities. But now you can see like scholarships, esports, the esports program is booming. To be completely honest, there's really a lot of things you can really do. Like you just got to ask around the university, do your research, call around, even try to reach out to some organizations to see, do they offer any co-op programs that like, maybe you go to this college and then you could go at like a co-op program under this organization, and like they show you like what they do on a day-to-day basis to help, you know, grind and build that organization to where it needs to be right now. So that's just look around, call and ask for the opportunities.
Do you think, well, I know this is going to kind of timestamp this podcast, but do you think that parents should be looking to send their kids to these alternative programs, or should they reach out to someone like you who has an established brand and just get them into the competitive scene? Or should they be building some sort of resume of association before they go towards the professional?
It depends. You could definitely reach out and talk to me. Like, I'm always available. I think one thing, I always try to reach out to people. I had kids reach out for me from college asking about the organization. And, like, I'm always open and answering questions. But I think try to build a resume. Try to do smaller things like social media. Just ask your kid really, like, what he wants to do. Once he figures that out, then try to incorporate what he wants to do into different things. If you want to be, like, help run social media. I know everybody need help with social media nowadays. So it's really easy to try to get in that position of like being a social media manager and help a different organization build. And that sort of aspect, I see a lot of social media positions. We even had one open at one point. So I think one of those things is asking, you know, sit down with him and be like, hey, listen, so you want to take esports serious? You want to take gaming serious? So let's try to build your resume. Let's try to get some things you want to do. And then if you want to reach out to somebody that's like a higher level into organization, I'm always accessible. Like, I'm not one of the people that's like not going to ignore you or anything. I always try to give my like help people no matter what, because I know if I was in the same situation, I would want somebody to come down and talk to me about like what I need to do and try to build myself and build my name up and my brand up, because everything, it takes time though. It's not going to be like something you want to see consistent, like instant results from. It's going to take time, especially if you're a competitive player. It takes a lot of dedication, a lot of grit. You need a lot of patience with that. It just depends on if you really got it or not.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, your team right now is in the FPS scene, but what do you think is the future of esports? You think it is, you know, sort of similar to traditional sports team games like Madden or Rocket League or a MOBA variant, or even, you know, something like Teamfight Tactics or Auto Chess? Where do you see the esports industry at large going toward? Do you think it'll stay consistent with FPS, or do you think it'll kind of adjust? MOBA seems to be holding the largest prize pools with Dota 2 and League of Legends, but where do you see the future of esports?
That's tough. I would still say FPS. I think FPS, I don't know, man. They keep coming out with FPS, good FPS games. It's going to consistently always be that. Dota, if I pronounce it wrong, really bad with names, definitely holds a very, very large prize pool. Like, that the prize pool they host every year is life-changing. Don't even get it wrong. Like, it is something that I wish I played for that. But yeah, I think FPS is something that everybody loves. Everybody can get into. Like, even if you're just a regular person, League of Legends and Dota, it takes a little bit more of, like, you got to really know what you're doing. It takes a lot of months, weeks of good practice to know what you're doing on type game. But FPS is something you can really ease into as you, you know, just coming into the scene, trying to play something, have fun, burn time, or just trying to play competitive or something, really get into with FPS. So I would definitely say FPS is going to be consistent for right now, or maybe in the near future change. It just depends on everything that's going on.
You know, and last question before I let you do your promos and stuff like that. How are you building celebrity around your players, and how are you staying in communication with the fans? You know, and what is it going to take to get more eyeballs, more attention on esports and gaming going forward?
I think just keep setting the boundary, showing people that like how esports could change so many people's lives. Like, I think Booga was a really good example of like showing people like what it really is, and like when it changed his life when he won. Like, so much stuff happened after that. Like, so many more parents were more lenient and letting the kids play Fortnite later, you know, going competitive and stuff like that. So I think overall, I think just showing people more, like more results, showing people that like what it really is about. And it's going to consistently keep popping up in different articles, different news site, you know, different news outlets and stuff like that. So I think just having the ability to show people and show parents and stuff, like, yes, this could be something that you really could take serious. And I fully support you on that. And when parents see that and see how much it could change a kid's life, I think more likely they'd be more, you know, willing to help their kid go to that goal of becoming an esports player, or whatever they choose to be.
Absolutely. And thank you, Kyrie, for coming on the show. Before we close out here, I want to give you the opportunity to talk about anything that you have upcoming. How can people find you and your players, and how they can contribute to the growth of your brand?
So Centric Kyrie on all platforms, YouTube, Twitch, Instagram, Twitter. That's how you can find me. Centric Gaming is Centric_GG on Instagram and Twitter, I'm pretty sure. You can go support, drop a follow if you like, subscribe, try to get us to 25,000 subscribers. besides that, you know, just always drop a like. Just look around the organization, look at the players. If you like it, if you like their content, if you find them funny, just follow. That's all really could do. You know, I'm always streaming. Like right after this, I'll probably go stream for like an hour or something. Just to talk to a little bit of people. If I get views, if I don't get views, I still like to stream. It's something I find really unique in my own time. So, yeah, that's about it.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much. Again, it's been Kyrie Ware of Centric Gaming. Thank you very much for listening.
Hey, y'all. It's Trent Knox, founder and CEO of Esports Business Network. I want to say thank you for listening to this podcast. If you're finding value in the podcast, I would greatly appreciate it if you share the podcast to your network and write a positive review on your preferred podcast platform. If you're feeling extra generous, feel free to make a contribution to our working capital accounts on Cash App or PayPal. Our username is ESPORTSBIZNET. That's Esports BizNet on both platforms. As always, we'd love for you to join our community and platform at https://www.ebn.gg. You can take advantage of a free subscription to our Bronze membership by following the directions on the homepage. Part of the Bronze membership is access to our Discord server and private membership channels. The conversation only evolves with participation from esports entrepreneurs like yourself. We need to hear about your esports business to understand how we can move the industry forward as a community. You can also join the community by joining the Facebook and LinkedIn groups. An additional goal of EBN is to move the conversation forward on your preferred social media platform. So as a last note, don't forget to follow us on social media for current events, news, and other esports related topics. Follow and subscribe to Esports Business Network on social media. Looking forward to networking with you very soon.